On this week's parasha, we had a parasha share on the parasha, but there's just an interesting thing that struck me later in the week, is that, you know, in the parasha we talk about a Mesis and a Novi Sheker, different people that are trying to take you away from Judaism. And over history, throughout history, we've had different isms, socialism and communism. These have been some very serious movements that have taken away many, many people from Yiddishkeit. And I mean from very, very religious families. We've spoken very often about in the 1900s, prior to World War II, there were many, many families that lost many souls, spiritually speaking, to communism and other different things that were going on at that time. But, you know, people think today we don't have this problem. You know, there's no Novi Sheker today. Now, the truth is, it's interesting, and my wife was showing me this clip out there that, I couldn't speak about this in my shul on Shabbos morning, it doesn't sound right, but there's this video, this movie called Unorthodox or something, about this lady who grew up from and lived a from life, and she mamish abandoned everything, and she speaks so evil, and she has a son, and her son is from, and it's a fascinating concept, but that's a Mesis. She's trying to show us in the world that Orthodoxy is a cult, and Orthodoxy is archaic, and Orthodoxy is crazy. So yeah, she might not be coming into your shuls, but she's got a much bigger platform than the shuls. She's got social media. It's a boy, I thought. I mean, there's more kids. There's a boy.
I'm watching it. It's four girls.
It's four girls?
Four children. One's from, very modern, one's a guy in yeshiva.
Anyway, I saw that boy. He was very shy for his mother. He was good.
He's very shy.
Respectfully, but he was very...
He's going to be fine. He'll be fine.
Relatively.
But
it's amazing. But this is mamash a modern day Mesis. She's trying to convince you and everyone around you, and the world loves this. You know, the world loves showing painting Judaism, extreme Orthodoxy as terrible. So it's really a modern day Mesis, and it's mamash last week's parasha. You know, I know we all, you know, people like to watch it because it's entertaining and all that.
But it's painful.
You know, but for people like, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're strong in our Yiddishkeit, I hope. But for people that are on the fence, you know, this is like, okay, come join us, join the other side. Yeah, Yiddishkeit is terrible and it's horrible. And you know, they love this stuff. And the media eats this up. They love this. They love to paint us as archaic and cavemen like and, you know, backwards people.
Especially,
you know. Yeah. Israeli. It bothers me. It bothers me a lot that, you know. But I think even for us very from people, I consider us all very from people, I think it still takes a toll on us. When we hear them talking about this, it creates even svekas in our minds and shailas in our minds, which is the whole idea of a Mesis. I think it's a scary thing to think about. And even today, in the modern day that we live, we also have a Mesis. And she's not a Novi Sheker, but she definitely has the power of a Mesis. She's trying to sweep people away, trying to convince people that, you know, Yiddishkeit has its problems. But I just thought it's an interesting thing that popped into my head. But I was thinking really more than that, you know, the real, I think the Mesis a little bit that we have in ourselves is really from this last year. You know, we went through a very difficult year as Jews, the Jewish population as a whole. A lot of tragedy befell the Jewish people. And it creates, I think, any normal person would start to wonder, you know, Hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu. I know it sounds very kfiridic, but, you know, I think if you're not normal, unless you're mamish such a high madriga, you have to ask yourself, Hashem, what are you doing? What's going on over here? So that's really what we all have to realize to ourselves, that the answer is found in the pasuk. It says, Banim atem Hashem alekechem, loisis koydudu v'loisisim ukarcha b'ninechem l'meis. Why are we not allowed to overcry over the passing of a loved one? It's normal. So Teresa says, because banim atem Hashem alekechem, you're children of Hashem. So what? What does one have to do with the other? So we shouldn't explain that because we are children of Hashem, we believe that everything He does is with a fatherly touch. We believe as parents, we know that we have to punish our children, and we don't enjoy doing it, but we know we have to do it, and we know it's almost always, especially if you're a good parent, it's supposed to be for the toivas a child. When you punish a child, it's not because you just want to show your child that you're in control. There are such parents like that, but healthy parents just do it because they want to improve the child's life. So all the tzaras that we've had as a community and as individuals this year, it's been a very, very rough year, and I don't even mean the COVID uptick and the COVID cases that are still out there. It's not mosaic. We had tragedy after tragedy, and it's very hard. Private and individual and community in Klal Yisrael. But the answer is why we stay strong in our emunah is because banim atem Hashem l'kechem. We believe we're children. And as children, we believe Hashem is only doing what's best for us because that's what parents do. And it makes us rethink our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which I think is really what the whole idea of Elul is. The whole idea of Elul is to regain our relationship with us and Hashem, is to remember that fatherly relationship which requires us to behave like a good child. A good child wants to be good to his parent. He wants to make his parent proud. He doesn't want to anger his parent. So because Hashem is our parent, in return we have to act like a child and follow his mitzvahs and do tshuva and all those things that would make him proud. So I think it's a good intro to Elul as we're getting into, we're already in Elul now. Baruch Mechadish Elul yesterday. Right? They used to say in Europe, you can feel Elul. Here, it's hard to feel anything. The kids are still in camp having color war. How can you feel Elul? It's very hard to feel, especially this year. But they say in Europe, the Mamish people felt, people used to talk to each other differently, business was done differently in Elul. It was a certain heightened sensitivity of spirituality. Okay, today we're lucky if we can get that, like at, you know, Ni'ilah time on Yom Kippur, we're there. Okay, we have what to strive for here in America. We're not perfect. But it is a month of introspection, but I think the starting point of Elul is to this relationship of Banim Atam Hashem Lekechem. We got to remember, he's our father, and therefore he's got our back. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't need my two cents. But in return, I have to act like a child to a father, like a good child to a father. I want to make him proud. I want to bring him nachas. I want to do things that will make him happy. Okay, so let's get back into the sugya today. We have a lot to cover over here. We left off last week. Let's just remind ourselves where we left off. We left off last week with a Taisvis. We had a Taisvis in Maseches Ksubas. But Taisvis is trying to figure out, we had a Reb Nechunya ben Akana, very important Reb Nechunya ben Akana. And Nechunya ben Akana said that we say, Kim lebe d'ram minei b'chayvi krisis. Even though the typical case of Kim lebe d'ram minei is either by Mammon and Misa, or Mammon and Malkis, comes along with Kim lebe d'ram. He says, no, even by Karis. The person has a chayvi krisis, he also has Kim lebe d'ram minei. So we wanted to know, how does that work out with what we learned in the Gemara? We learned in the Gemara that Chayve Nida, a Nida gets Knas. A guy's boil, he's Ma'anis, a girl who happens to be a Nida. We spoke about 2 weeks ago. How do you know she's a Nida? Maybe she's not a Nida. We dealt with that issue already. But you know she's a Nida, whatever the case may be. So then the Shaila is, you have to pay Knas. The question is, why do you have to pay Knas if you have Kalev Ramine? Because she's Chayve Krisis. So Taisus made the following Cheshvin. Taisus said that one of the Amaroim in the Gemara said that I have a special pasuk that tells me that there's no Knas by Chayve Krisis. Special pasuk. So asks Taisvis, why did I need a special pasuk to tell me there's no knas by chayvi krisis? Why don't you say there's no knas by chayvi krisis because of kim lebe d'rabbinei? Oh, it must be he doesn't hold of kim lebe d'rabbinei. That was Taisvis' cheshbon. So then, this is what we need to get clear for today's share. Taisvis' premise was that if you were to hold of l'chonim ben akana and you were to say kim lebe d'rabbinei by chayvi krisis, why would you need a pasuk to exclude chayvi krisis from knas? It should be the same thing. If you're Kim Lebe D'Ramine, you'll never pay the Knas. If you never pay the Knas, why do I need a Pasuk to tell me you don't pay the Knas? So we started to talk yesterday, last week, about the idea of what exactly happens when you have Kim Lebe D'Ramine. Meaning, let's talk about a typical case of Kim Lebe D'Ramine. You have Misa and Mammon. Right? A person kills someone, and while he's killing him, he rips his shirt. So we have a rule, Kim Lebe D'Ramine, you don't have to pay the money. Does that mean you're done, you're finished, you're scot-free? Or is there perhaps still some relationship responsibilities that you have to the victim? So if you look in Gemara, there's no Mefurish Gemara, at least to my knowledge, that says there's any real obligation to the person, to the victim. Kim David Ramine means you're potter, you go home, no guilt, no stress, no nothing, you go home. But we mentioned last week there is a Rashi, a very important Rashi in Bambitzia. Rashi and Bamitzia introduced us based on how he understood Gemara and Bamitzia. Now again, the Gemara does not have to be learned that way. We talked a little bit last week that there was other ways to learn the Gemara, but we'll just read the Gemara inside with Rashi, and then we'll see where this all comes from. There's a Gemara about Bamitzia. The Gemara says that the Gemara says if you muzzle a parah, which is a law in the Torah, le'sach some shor b'dishoy, Pashas ki say, so we'll get there, Mitzvah Shem, in a few weeks. You now let a muzzle an animal and put it in the field. So let's say you do so. You don't listen to the Torah. So says the Gemara, but if a person muzzles an animal and he threshes with it, he goes through the field with it. So loiku mishalim, he has to get malchus and he pays. Dalit kavim la parah, v'gimel kavim la chamor. So it depends which animal he used. If he used a parah, it's 4 kav, and if he used a chamor, it's 3 kav. What are you talking about? How can this guy have to pay? We have a rule, you don't pay and get killed. You also don't pay and get malchus. So he's going to get malchus for the love of loisach soim. So how is it that he has to pay? So the first answer to the Gemara is we're going like Meir. Remeir says you could get malchus and pay. Okay, fine. But we need the second answer to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Rava, Omar Rava says no. Esnan osra teira vafilu ba'al imu. Says Rava that the Torah prohibited an esnan even if you lived with your mother. What is going on over here? So we explained that Rashi explained to us that what's going on over here. There's an ist in the Torah called esnan. That if a person has nus with a zayna, and he pays her with an animal, so that animal is treif, it can't go on the mizbech, Hashem doesn't want it, it's tainted. Says the Gemara, well, what happens if the zayna is not a regular zayna, but she happens to be your mother? So what? Why does it change? Because now you're going to get misa for living with your mother. So maybe you can argue that since I'm not mechayiv to pay the money to the zayna because of kimle b'derabim minei, so now even if I were to give her the esnan as a token of a gift, it wouldn't be considered an esnan because I don't have any financial obligations to her. Says Rashi, no, we'll just read Rashi very quickly, but Rashi is very important. Rashi says, number two, Zak Rashi, Rav Oma Esna Tera Asura Afilu Bat Lima, Zak Rashi, V'natzan La Tle Be'esnan, and he lives with his mother, who's the Zayna, and he gives the Tle as the Esnan, but also the carbon, and that would be also as a carbon. The Esnan stomach sip, because in the Torah prohibited Esnan, it didn't say who the Zayna is. Loishna Imova, Loishna Pliya, could be any woman. And in a case where it happens to be his mother, he doesn't have to pay her the money. The Avagav Zagrashi, the Tova Lebedina, come on, Tenli Esnani, Loi Mechayvin Alei. And even if the mother would come to the son and say, listen, you owe me the Esnan, I want you to pay up the price for this Nus, she cannot demand it a Bezdin. Why? Because of Kim Lebedi Rabbinine. But says Rashi, Ki Avinu Nahale Esnanhu. But if the son decides to give it, or when he gives it, it will be labeled an Esnan. Alma Zagrashi Afilub Amaka Misa Nami Ramu Tashum Nales. What do you see? That even when this came labor the Rabbi Mine, and the guy's gonna get killed for living with his mother, he still has this hovering momentous obligation. Elosha in Koyach Loinsha Bishtaim. But Bezdin can't punish him with two punishments. Avalide Shemaim Loyotsu Achi Yishalim. Zagrashi Gavaldi Chiddush. There's what's called the Chi of Lotsis Ide Shemaim. When a person has kim lebed rabbi minei, even though the Torah exempts him and Bezdin exempts him and no court can obligate him, he has hovering on his head what we call a chi of lot seis de shemayim. He's going to have to answer this in shemayim. Unbelievable. Now, we're going to get to if that is necessarily the same thing as taifas, or we can split it. We'll see. It's
is that
like
an onesh? Meaning, what? If I get into a contractual obligation, I borrow money,
right,
and then I default on the loan.
Right.
So Bezdin comes in, they're not punishing me, they're just enforcing an agreement.
So that's what we saw last week from the Ravid. The Ravid wanted to make such a distinction that it depends if it was a self-imposed obligation or it's a Torah-imposed obligation. The Ravid makes such a chiluk. Yeah, that's the Ravid's pshat, how to learn this gemara.
It seems like Knas is more like a Olam Hazet.
Okay, good. We're going to get to Knas.
Karis is all, yes.
Okay, good. So we're going to get to that in the Chasam Sofer, hopefully. One of these sources here. We'll get to that difference. Because again, you have to, this gemara is talking about Mises Bezdin and Mominus. We're talking about knas. So we always know knas is the oddball, so we'll have to see how that works out. But if I want you to look closely at the lashon of Rashi, because the Chasam Sofer is going to make this diuk. What does Rashi keep on emphasizing? Rashi, he keeps on emphasizing what? That Bezdin. Our gemara is Karis. Karis is not Bezdin. So it's a different department, right? It's not an issue of Bezdin doing two punishments. It's one from the knas from the Bezdin and one from Hashem. So it's not an issue of Bezdin doing two things, because Bezdin's only doing one thing. Hashem's doing the Karis, not my problem. So says Rashi, says Rashi, how do I know it? Because if there would be no hovering obligation, says Rashi, why is this called an Esnan? I don't understand. If I go somewhere and someone gives me a service, the service is rendered. Right? So I guess they gave for taxes, those accountants, right? And services is rendered, and no one charges you anything. And you offer a gift. That's not a payment, that's a gift. Esnan is not gifts. Esnan is a payment. So if I don't have to pay her the money, why is the payment that I give her considered a payment? It should be considered a gift. And if it's a gift, it shouldn't be Esnan. Esnan is an exchange. Tit for tat. You give me znos, I give you an animal. That wasn't the deal over here. You gave me znos, and I don't owe you a dime. I decided to give you an animal. Fine, that's a matana. If a guy goes to a zayin, and the zayin is moichel v'choif, okay, whatever, and then he gives the zayin a matana, that's not Esnan. So Fred Rashi, why is this Esnan? So Elamai is Rashi, because it's not true. It's not the pshat that there's no mamonis tikachayv. There is a mamonis tikachayv. And this guy is going to have to deal with his mamonis tikachayv one day, in the next life, next world. Therefore, says Rashi, so you see that there is something here. So this is where Rashi derives his yisoid, which other Rishonim perhaps disagree, that every time there's kim lebed ramine, it's not the pshat that you're scot-free. It's not true. You still have what's called a lotzer sidei shemayim. You still have a debt to Hashem, or to this victim, that you have to deal with one day. Maybe not Bezdin can't enforce it, but you still owe something to somebody. And if it's a Rashi, that's why this Esnan is considered Esnan. Then Rashi brings it back to our Gemara, or our Sugya over here, the Gabichoisim Nami, when it comes to the case of muzzling the animal. Nami Tashlum and Ramola, you have an obligation. Elosh Ein Koyach Be Bezdin! Bezdin can't La'oin Shoishtayim. But since the obligation is there, it's hovering over you. You will not fulfill your obligation until you pay up. So this is what Rashi is introducing us to, called Achiev Lotzei Sidei Shemaim. That when a person has Kimle B'Dir Amine, although in a court of law and according to the rules on the books, he is potter from Amin, he walks away scot-free. So Rashi, but he has what's called a Lotzei Sidei Shemaim, which means he has to answer to this for this money one day. Then Rashi says one more Knech. Inami, another pshat. So Grashi, there's another thing over here. There's something called Lotzei Sidei Shemaim. Lotzei Sidei Shemaim means that on the books, in the court of law, I'm exempt. No one can make me pay, and you probably can't even take the money against my will. You probably can't be toifest. But when I get up to Shemaim, Hashem's going to say, okay, you know, you didn't wear tzitzis, like the Gemara says in Menachos, and also you owe this guy $200. You say, well, we got $200. I had Kimlei B'Dramine. Hashem says, no, that's not Kimlei B'Dramine. That's not how it works. Kimlei B'Dramine just means that I can't make you pay in Bezdin, but you still owe him the money. So that's Rashi's Chiddush. Rashi's second pshat, which some Rishonim bring as one pshat, which maybe we'll talk a little bit about, is no, it's not just Achiev Lotzei Sidei Shemaim. There's actually, right now in this world, I have rights to your money. And how is that shown? By the fact that if I go into your house and grab an object that is exactly valued at the amount you owe me, I get to keep it. Now, normally, if I walk into your house and I grab an object, I can't do that. And even if you owe me the money, it's not the pasha that tefisa always works. But over here, says Rashi, since, and it's really coming off its first chiddush, since I told you that you have a hovering chiv, you're not completely exempt. That's why if I go and I grab the money, Bezdin can't take it out of my hands. Itof is loy mafkin yamine. Kach shemati b'mayri hazokin. Rashi says he heard this from his Rebbe. Okay, Rashi didn't learn. People think Rashi must have learned, you know, 100 years in yeshiva. They say at best Rashi maybe learned 4 or 5 years in yeshiva. Then he came back to France, came back to where he learned in Germany, because at that time the big yeshivas were in Germany, or some of them were still in Bavel. And the early Rashi was in the early 1000, how much early? So the big yeshivas were in Germany. People, there's so many Rishonim that we don't have today that were all Germanic, because most of their writings and a lot of their lives were lost in the First Crusades. So that time in the Rishonim, I'm talking about in the beginning, the 1100s, that time period, the bulk of the Rishonim and the bulk of Torah life was in Germany, the German countries. But so Rashi traveled from France to Germany to go learn a yeshiva, and he came back to Troyes. Exactly how he pronounced the word Troy, he pronounced it differently. But in any case, Rashi's Rabbi. But Rashi is telling us two separate chiddush. Chiddush number one is that there's something called Lotzei Sidei Shemaim, and chiddush number two is also something called Tfisa. And we'll see the Nesiva splits these two. In Lamdis, they make sense to go together. Because there's a Chi of Lotzei Sidei Shemaim, that should justify my Tfisa. Right? But there might be a Chiluk. There might be, you have a Chi of Lotzei Sidei Shemaim, but that doesn't give you the right to be Tfisit. Right? That's, we'll see the Nesivis.
Why? Is that Shemaim then?
Yeah, Lotzei Sidei Shemaim is between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tfisa is already in this world, so you don't have that type of authority.
Maybe you can run this Chiddush differently. Not that the Chi of Mammon exists. No, there's no Chi of Mammon. But the Chiddush of the Torah is that it still retains the status of Esnan, even though you don't have to pay it. The
question would be why?
That's
also in the Gemara. Right.
I understand that.
So some Rishonim tackled in the Gemara like that. Some Rishonim last week, we mentioned, the reason why I'm bringing so much focus on this Gemara is because this is a major Yisrael in Kimlei B'Dir Amine, which is not a Gemara before Reshus anywhere. It's the way Rashi learned the Gemara. But there are Rishonim in the Gemara, similar to the way Seth wants to learn the Gemara. The Gemara is not saying that there's a Chiv Mamnus. The Moshe will go the way the Shittim Kubetza says it, which again, it needs more Hezber. Meaning, Avada, the son, owes nothing to his mother. But if he decides to pay up the Esnan, we'll look at it still as Esnan money. Even though it's not. It's not halachically, it's not hashkafically, whatever.
It's not something
you want
to
learn
his name.
Well,
it is
hashkafically. It's not. It's not exchange.
The trigger of the gift is the whole underlying...
I understand, but again, at the end of the day, if you give a gift for exchange for Zeus, that's not an Esnan.
You know, it's,
okay, that's one of the ways we shine and learn. Now, again, Rashi's pshat is relevant to us because Rashi's coming out with a massive chiddush and how to learn the sugya of Kimlei B'Dir Amine. Now, I put over here from the Sefer Yam HaTalmud.
How are you allowed to make a kinyan altogether in something that is an Asa Midaraisa?
What's Asa Midaraisa?
The Esna.
That's not Asa Midaraisa. It's just you can't be brought as a carbon. You can own it. It's not like a Suri Hano. Right, that's the Maisa that was Asa Midaraisa.
Right.
So the animal...
How can you make a contract on that?
No, right,
itself.
Right, that you know, you're not allowed.
You're calling that an esnan altogether is a big chiddush.
Right,
because it's a contract on something that's an isa daraisa.
Right,
isn't that?
Well, that's that.
The chiddush altogether.
Well, again, why should the mamonis not be effect? We made the deal, so the fact that you again guy makes. Let's say
you can't make a deal on something that's us under the rights.
You can't make a tenai on something which is us under the rights. Let's say, for example,
you can't make a deal on us.
The two Jews make up with each other that I'm going to hire a Jew to work for me on Shabbos, and the Jew shows up and he works, and I don't pay him. He can't mun me in Beznet for not paying him.
I don't know.
He could. It was actually committed. Yeah, why not? We made a.
How could you make a contract? Something that's an issue because
you'll get a patch for doing malach on Shabbos, but you owe me something. I mean, by Tanoim we had this. Yeah. By Tanoim you have masna mashakos with Torah. You can't make a tanai against the Torah. But over here it's two separate things. There's a agreement, choish mishpat agreement that we made up. So you, yeah, I think they're two separate things. Unless you have kim levi d'rabbanei, when you have kim levi d'rabbanei, so that exempts it. But without kim levi d'rabbanei, I would understand there's two separate things. There's a you're going to get patch for doing what you did wrong. Hashem is mad at you, but I still owe you the money. So Frek, the Yama Talmud, he has an interesting kasha. Yama Talmud lived at the end of the 1700s. He has a cute kasha. I was waiting for someone to ask me this question. We've spoken many times about what makes someone a zayna. Perhaps a strange question, but what makes someone a zayna? You know, sometimes my kids ask me what we'll share about Sundays. I'm not going to tell them what makes someone a zayna, right? Or, you know, what do you do for Inus and Mafata? But okay. Right? So we had a machoikish with Shoina many times of what makes a woman a zayna. So we know there's a big machlokes in Rambam and Ravid. So Frekti Yama Talmud, he says, I don't get this whole Gemara. You bring me a raya from when a guy lives with his mother and Esnan. He says, I have a bigger question. Every time you live with a Zayna, that's a lav in the Torah. Right? So we have a rule, Ein Eloikei Mishalem. You don't have Malkus and pay.
No. So paying is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to the person. There's a difference.
No, it's not.
When you say Ein Eloikei Mishalem, sure. That means Ben Adam Machaveret? That doesn't mean like to the Bezdin or something?
No. Every time it's Ben Adam Machaveret. You burn a guy's Godish then. That was the case of Rush. It's always Ben Adam Machaveret. You rip the guy's shirt. Yeah.
Okay.
Right? So you have, so Frek the Yama Talmud. I don't get it. Esnan is Stamazay Achidish Akra. Because every Esnan has built in Kim Leib Dramine. Because every time you live with a Zaino, that's a lav in the Torah. So every lav, you told me whenever there's a lav and there's Mamanis, we say Loikev Mishalim Ben Aloikev. Loikev Ben Mishalim. So why are you focusing on the case of Esnan with an Imoy? Every Esnan is already a Chiddush Akra, that you don't say Kimle Dramine.
But Kimle, we have this machlokus of whether you actually end up getting the Malkus.
Correct.
Or if it's just something that could have been.
Okay.
So in those who hold that it's not when you didn't get it, it's only when you actually got Malkus, that's not going to be a kashya.
Why?
Because there's no Kimle in that case.
Why would there be no Kimle?
There was no Hasra, there was no...
How do you know? I have no idea.
But you can't say every Esnan is going to have a Kim Leib Rabine according to those.
So how do you know the case of Esnan Baal Imoy is going to have that?
You don't. It's just only where you, by those people who hold that it actually has to occur. There was Adam and
I understand. But the concept of Esnan should always be exempt with Kim, meaning there should never be a concept of an Esnan. Mm-hmm. Every Esnan should be Kim Leib Rabine. Elamai, what's the follow-up answer? Oh, it's an exception to the rule. So Baal Imoy is also an exception to the rule. I don't get it. So, Frek the Yama Talmud, let's read it inside. He says, I don't get it. V'koshel Yituva. Hakivin the Rav Eina Mechala Klal Be'esnan Ben Chuvi Krisis L'Chuvi Mrs. Bezdin, right? Rav is not differentiating between what type of Esnan she is. Again, a regular Esnan could be anyone. She could be a Chayvi Krisis, she could be a sister, she could be the girl down the block, she could be anyone. There's no difference.
Good.
So let's see. So he says, "Kivor b'taisus kan dibemask lesnan imken kosher hakasev Rambam perik alav melachas isha lochadal duchola boil isha l'shem's nose. Anyone who's boiling isha just for the sake of his nose, loike mishum loye kodesh, he's over the lav of loye kodesh. So you already have a lav on your hands, and you told me whenever there's a lav, there's no mumminess. So how do you ever have to? How do you ever have esnan? How can there ever be a metzias called an esnan? Every esnan is kim levi d'rabbanei." He says, "Vafilu la'arayvid shecholik shom olav b'stam zayna." I feel he penuya mufkareses does vadechayev malchus. Even the rayvid would agree it's shaykh that a zayna could be a chavi lavin if she makes herself mufkares l'znus, which would probably be the taich of a zayna, a woman who makes herself mufkar for znus.
Lav on her though. How's it a lav on him?
Why isn't it a lav on him also?
For her being making herself available for znus.
For him living with a woman who makes herself available for znus, right? So he says over here.
I'm going to the Rambam so far.
And he said, but even according to the Ravid, if she's Mufkeres Luznos, then she's also. So again, okay. I guess that would be the literal translation of a Zayna.
Only
so
if she's ugly, right?
What?
Only if she's ugly, it's a lava.
Only if she's ugly.
and it's even a one time.
Yeah, even once, right. So Frekta Yama, yeah.
By the way, going back to the whole thing of Kim Lehman and Rabbi Mine, when you say Kim Lehman, does it only work
when the other one's a stronger punishment, or are there certain gedarim, meaning whether it's, let's say, achiv karis, whether it's this, whether it's
versus
that.
Versus what? It's always going to be a mamonis. Mamonis with something.
Right. So but like what I'm saying is, but is there always this something that's on the higher level? Is there like a certain rule what it's got to be?
Example.
Example, meaning, you know, it's when you have a chiyuv kara. So let's say I kill you, some chayiv, whatever it is.
That's Mrs. Besdin.
Mrs. Besdin, so then I don't get it. But is there like a limitation of like how far up the chain it goes? Meaning, like, let's say you have a smaller lav. Let's say if theoretically there would be a bigger lav. Would you also say the concept of kimle?
Not sure. There's a lav table mice, but you're not going to get malchus.
So then you
oh, that's already more complicated, right? That's more complicated. I'm not sure if you're talking about what type of in the Lavin family or Lavin. There's three categories: there's Lavin, Mrs. Besdin, Chayiv Krisus.
Right. So I'm saying so, Chayiv Krisus or Mrs. Besdin, we always say Kim Lein.
No, that's the Machlokes is Tanoim.
Right. Okay.
And the Chayiv Menachon is the only one who holds that way.
Right. But I'm saying according to the other shitas, it's only if it's a Chayiv Karis.
Chayiv Mrs. Besdin. Chayiv Karis is Machlokes. Chayiv Mrs. Besdin is agreed by all.
Okay.
So that's our Gemara's and the Chulin Ben Akana. He holds that Chavi Krisus also has Kimle. But everyone holds that there's Kimle by Chiv Mrs. Besdin.
Okay, but now what I'm asking is if, let's say, you'd have, if there would be theoretically two Chiyuve Lavin, but one's a bigger Lav than the other, so would you also apply the concept of Kimle?
That's a different thing. That's not Kimle. Kimle is the only one there's mumminess and a punishment. You have two Lavin, that's a separate. You don't get, you shows if you get 80 Malkas or not. That's a separate child. That's not okay. That's not for Kimle. So listen to this kasha. It's Gavaldik Kashi. He says, "Varachti b'zev makamach in Cain lo molei l'rova loy merkan mishum de esna nasa teira afilu beloyu alimoy." Frektim Rava should have said better. Forget the mother. Typically, the chol esna ha'omer b'teira after chavi malchus ha'kaim l'onde in loyku mishalim va'afilu hachi esna nasa. Meaning, I don't know, why do you have to make it so complicated with bal imoy? Why don't you say pashut that esnan is the example that you don't say Kim Levi Ramine.
He's holding that, because then Rava's holding that it's only in Mavanas, and there's a machlokas in Lavanin. Like Abaye answered, it's a machlokas in Lavanin.
Correct. For, so, right, he's saying.
So Rava's holding that, Rava is saying only within Misa, because the other way would have been only a Lav. Esnan Stam would have been a Lav.
Right.
Kim in Lav is a machlokas.
Right.
Kim Lei in Mechayim.
I guess he's assuming that Rava would hold like that there's Kim Lei even by a Lav, right? It's a good point. That's a good point. So his point, again, he's just bringing out that you could have just answered this whole question, never gets off the ground, because Esnan is a exception to the rule. If Esnan is an exception to the rule, a whole Rashi never gets off the ground. It's a very good point. Because if our Rashi never gets off the ground, because you don't have to make such a stir, then a whole Chiddush is never booked. Now, what's his answer? Okay, that we're going to have to get to later, at a different time. He has a lot of different... I'm sure you're already thinking of Terutzim in your head, but one of you probably thinking of what? That there's a difference between a Lav and Mrs. Besdin. That's a very big difference, which we'll hopefully get to in some point. But let's go Shtigl Vayta. Before we come back to the Chassam Sofer, I want to go a little off the topic, but Inyan Boyse Inyan. There's Halacha in Shulchan Aruch number 4 in Chosh Mishpat Simcha Chav Ches. We mentioned this a little bit last week based on the Gemara in Baba Kamma and Akoinis. Everyone learns it when they're in 6th grade, right? We know that there's such a thing called things that you do apart from Midini Yodah V'chai B'dini Shemai. Now, what does it mean to be Chai? That's a Gemara. Chai B'dini Shemai means that you're going to get up to Shemai Machameh V'Hashem. Hashem's going to say, you weren't nice to your friend, you didn't do what you're supposed to. You're going to say, Hashem, what do you mean? No court ever held me accountable. Hashem says, yeah, I know. But Lamaisa, you did something incorrectly and you have to clear up. Maybe that's where Gugulim come from. I don't know. But whatever it is, you got to clear it up. So the question is, whenever you have what's called a Chiyuv Lotzis Dishmaim, do you automatically have Tfisa? Do those two things go synonymous with each other? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, number 4, the Mechaber writes, Kol Mishyedei Eidus L'Chaveri. Let's say you know something about your friend. V'roi L'Hayid. You know, you're able to testify. You know that Reuven ripped off Shimon. But you don't want to get involved. You're not interested. It's not worth it for you. You don't want the politics, so you stay quiet. But you know Reuven ripped off Shimon, and Reuven has to pay Shimon. Says the Shulchan Aruch, V'yesh L'chaver te'el espedusa. There'll be a lot to gain from your testifying. Chayiv L'Hayid. You have to testify. Mitvienu Shiyid Lo Bebezdin. They tevei you for the Bezdin. The subpoena. Whether there's another aid with you, even if you're by yourself. Because you can argue, what do you mean? What am I going to do by myself? There's not enough to convince. Well, you got to go, you have to go. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, if we're Mashbiya today, depending on what, right? Right, it sounds like you only have to go if they ask. I mean, on your own, you don't have to go. But if they tell you, listen, we want you to come, you got to come. So, Ve'im kivesh edusai. Let's say you hold up your aidus. You're not interested in going. You don't want to go. So again, if you know Reuven stole $500 from Shimon, You know it. You saw it. You're there and all that. But you don't go to Bezdin. And therefore, Shimon is out, whatever. The person's out $500. So you're not chayv to pay that in a court of law, but in Shemayim, you're going to have to pay for that. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Comes along the Ktzos over there, and the Ktzos quotes a Rivash. But the Rivash writes, the Chol Hecha, the Mechoyev Lotzis De Shemayim, whenever you have one of these Chiyev Lotzis De Shemayim, Itofis Mafkin Emine. What would happen if Reuven, who knows Shimon stole $500 from him, knows that Levi washed this and decided not to come, he said, you know, Levi, I'm going to go to your house and take $500 from you. Call it even. Says the Ktzos, according to Rivash, nope, doesn't work. Now the question is, why not?
But that's one removed.
Well, it's one why? It's the same Lotzis De Shemayim. Right?
No, but the chol is indirect. I mean,
yeah,
if you want to call it.
Correct, and that's why you can't hold him in account in a court of law. But you had that lotzis day shemayim.
What did the mechaber mean?
Tefisa is surrounds taking the chol directly from the person.
But why is it? Let me ask another question. So why is there a lotzis day shemayim? Why is there a lotzis day shemayim? Why does this lack this non attendee witness owes anything to this guy? What do you mean? Why? I'm going to say, you owe him, what do I owe money? Because I didn't go to court. The answer is, yeah. You're not going to court, cause him to lose $500, and that's a theoretical chayf. So then we learned earlier that whenever there's loss of the Shemayim, there should be tfisa. Here the Rivash says, no, there's no tfisa.
But how do you know it's $500? Because he was only 1/8. He really would not, even if he went to Bezin, he would not.
Okay. Right, it's a little different over here. Again, it might be different over here because you don't know exactly the asidus. We don't know exactly what happened at the end. But theoretically, it looks like you would have been able to be mechayev the guy the money. Right, but the question is, how does Shemayim... Well, we're holding now in this world. We want to know whether or not you can be tevet in this world.
The whole
thing is b'shamayim. Right. And the Chazal say, we consider now that you have a chiyuv l'asidei Shemayim. Right. So comes along the Shachar number 6. And he drops us a gewaltige chiddush from the Marshal. He writes, "Kosev Marshal b'Yam Shloim beperek Akrinus." The Marshal writes in the Sefer Yam Shloim in the 6th perek a gewaltige chiddush. He says, "V'nearly kol hecha damir nechayv b'dine shemayim." Whenever the Gemara says a rule that someone has a chiyuv lotzis de shemayim, he tofes mafkina minei. He take it away. Right? Let's say, for example, the Gemara talks about 4 examples in the beginning of Akainis, Apatim, Midian, V'chayim, Din, Ishmael. Says the Shach, in all of those cases, if you decide to grab it, we take it out of your hand. So, frek the Shach, 1 second. What happened to Rashi Bar Metzia? Didn't Rashi Bar Metzia tell us that by Kim Levi Diramine, Tfisa works? So, if it works by Kim Levi Diramine, why doesn't it work over here? So, says the Shach, Ashtigot Torah in the Marshal. This is really the Marshal talking. He writes, Afilu Pirish Rashi, Shapirish, Reparagas, Sayicher. Frak the Marshal, what are you talking about? You see from Rashi and Bamitzia that whenever there's a Chiv Lodz Yishamayim, Tvisa does work. So that was the way it was by Kim David Ramani. Why doesn't it work that way as well by Potim Medina and Chayim Yishamayim? Mikomokim ki agavna lukulyam mafkimine. Says the Marshal, no. I think even Rashi would agree to me. Even Rashi that told us about Metzia that Tfisa works would agree that when it comes to those things that are part of B'dinot V'chayim B'din Yishmaim, you have absolutely no right to do Tfisa. Why? So he explains. Bishlam b'kim levi d'ram b'nei d'chayiv hu. Because by kim levi d'ram b'nei, you owe the money. Rak d'loi katlinam b'trei k'tola v'avdir anachum. But Bezdin can't give 2 punishments, so they give the chomer instead of the lesser one. Unbelievable chiddush. Says the Marshal, you know when Tfisa works by Kinder Dramine? Not in the typical case. In the typical case where a guy beats up someone on Shabbos, so he's chayv misa for hurting him, for causing dam to come out. He's chayv misa for breaking, he's chayv mamas for breaking his glasses. So says the Marshal, in that case, we don't say Kinder Dramine. The guy gets killed. No tfisa. Sorry, we don't say tfisa. Why? Because, we'll see what Bachana makes it even clearer, because when he got the death penalty, that is if he made the payment. And therefore, there's no money due, no financial responsibilities. So when is Rashi talking about a case where there's such a thing called tfisa by Kimna Duramine? That's only when the guy doesn't actually get killed. Why wouldn't he get killed? Either because he's Bishoigeg, or because there's no Hasra, or because Bismanazed, there's no death penalty. Then tfisa makes sense. But whoever is Dr. Mashah, but whenever... Avol, meaning the way the Mashal is understanding Kfisa is only when you still have a right to the money. But when you don't have a right to the money, then you can't just grab things. Says the Mashal, but let's go back to the case of the So says the Mashal, but when it comes to something like grama, we have a grama benizakin pater. Pater means I don't owe you anything. Either the chiyuv lost his ishmaim, good as the chiyuv lost his ishmaim. That doesn't equal tvisa. I, Rashi says tvisa. Rashi was only talking about a case where you actually have rights to the money. You know why you have rights to the money? Because the guy never got his death penalty. When he gets the death penalty, then we understand that in the death penalty somehow wrapped up the money. But the guy never got the death penalty. He was a shoygig. It was bizman hazeh. There was no asra. Then avada tvisa works. So the mashal is telling us an unbelievable chiddush. The mashal is saying that the only time tvisa really works is only in a situation where the guy didn't get the death penalty. But lo yitzur, he gets a death penalty. Even Rashi would agree there is no tvisa.
Similar case here. Maybe there has to be an establishment because of, you know, that Bezdin has to actually have the issue is of the there was a din involved. I mean, over here, they didn't want to come to do Eidus, so there was really no establishment of the Pope.
Well, there is, because you didn't want to come to Bezdin, and therefore Reuven lost that $500. Well, that's every loss is Yishamayim. Every chiv lost his Yishamayim.
He can play Bezdin Paskins.
Right. Right. What?
And they tried
to force. Paskin that he get the death penalty. Paskin you owe $5,000.
Right.
But we can't make you pay $5,000.
Well, I don't.
Give you the death
but that psak is not really worth too much. What was that worth?
No, but it is.
Why? Why?
Because that's the process.
Because if A, you get B.
That's exactly the point.
If it's not A, you get B. Here, you don't know whether B even exists. It hasn't been established that B exists.
You're basing him a paskin on this.
No,
guy.
No.
So, where's the
chiyuv? It's like it might be.
It's interesting with there's a chiyuv, but it's not enforceable. Versus the chiyuv never really
existed.
It exists only in theory.
But again, this also might be because there's a thing called kimlei. That means in practicality there is no chiyuv on this. You guys are trying to slightly over dramatize this. You say, well, really there is a chiyuv, and we put it on the books, and then we throw the book out. What does that mean? That's slightly semantics, right? There is no chiyuv mamonos. Kimlei means there is no chiyuv mamonos. That's it. You're saying, no, there is a chiyuv mamonos.
Maybe it means it's there, but we can't give. Make you pay it. Not if you don't have A, you have
I'm not sure what that means, that it's here, but it's practically there is no chiyuv mamonos.
It's not enforced.
It's not enforced, right?
But it's there.
But it's there.
It's still there. You can't enforce it because of the other thing.
So now,
but if the other thing doesn't exist, now we enforce
it. No, but that's always the question. The question is, it not being enforced, is that a riot that it doesn't exist? Or it not being enforced is just a riot?
That's the
right, so the chiddush of the mashal is that he wants to tie that. And we'll see, Rabbi Chonah makes it much clearer. But you have to work this out, because according to the mashal, it comes out that you can only do tefisa akim le'yamin in a case where the guy's not getting misa. Whenever the guy gets misa, so then he's paying for it through the death, no tefisa on the books. That's the mashal's chiddush.
And there are those who hold that there's no kimlei at all in that scenario. That
which scenario?
Unless you actually have...
Yes, correct, correct.
So there's no kimlei at
that's
all.
That's correct.
Forgetting about then the fact that there are those who hold that you could go in Bezdin
correct.
And get.
Correct. There is a shita out there. We'll talk about it.
Right.
It's going to come up a lot. But then b'chlal by shayim, there's kimlei b'drammini. Now, what's the big problem with this mashal?
Not just showing him. I mean, where you don't have asra.
Correct. Or for whatever. Whenever there's no practical misa.
You can't effectuate the misa.
Correct.
To get the hindah, the kapara.
That's right. That's right. Now, what's wrong with this mashal? Pashat. There's a fundamental kash on this mashal. Why does mashal just tell us that the only time you say kill David Ramminay, tfisa works, is when it's either a shoygeg or it's asra, but you don't actually have the first punishment. It was never actually practically given. What's the problem? The Tzais asks and the Sivas asks. It's against the Gemara Bar Metzia. What's the case of the Gemara Bar Kama? The Gemara Bar Metzia. Presumably he's going to get Malkus. What's the case of the Gemara? Hachayis Mizbar Adash Bar Loiku Mishalim. Loiku Mishalim means he's getting Malkus. Why is he getting Malkus? So presumably he's amazing without Sarah. According to and Rashi's whole teretz was Tvisa works over here. According to the Mashal, there is no Tvisa when you give Malkus. There is no tefisa when you actually get the stronger punishment. So how does this mashal read the Gemara? As they frek the Ktzois and as they frek the Nesivas. So the Ktzois gives a very interesting answer, number 8. First of all, you look at the Ktzois number 7, he writes, Ulechari divrei mashal heima divrei nevius. He's a novi, how did he know this? How did he know this chiluk? Do hashabim atzino lemeima dafilu avdino nachomer romi al tashlum. He says, no, mechitesa. Maybe even when you actually get the strong misa, you get the punishment, you still owe the money. I'll bring a dura right from our Gemara and Bamitzia. The Gemara says that what? He's not loikum mishalim, which means presumably he should get Malkus. And still we call it an Estan, and according to Rashi, Estan means it's a Chiv Tvisa. But according to the Marshal, there is no concept of Tvisa when you actually get the punishment. This Gemara and Bamitzia sounds like the guy's going to get Malkus. So according to the Marshal, how do you read the Gemara and Bamitzia? So the Nesivus, I didn't put it on the paper, the Nesivus comes up with a real whopper of a Chiddush. The Nesivus says there's a difference between Tfisa and Los Yisidei Shammai. Says the Nesivus, this whole Marshal was talking about Los Yisidei Shammai. When is there a din called Los Yisidei Shammayim? That's only true when you actually get the stronger, when you don't get the stronger punishment. But when you get the stronger punishment, there's no din Los Yisidei Shammayim. Tfisa, different sugya. Big Chiddush from the Nesivus. The Nesivus wanted to say he splits the two. That there's something called Tfisa and Los Yisidei Shammayim. Two separate things. And they're not Toz Abazah. You can have a scenario where there is no Los Yisidei Shammayim and there would be Tfisa or vice versa. So when the whole Chiddush of the Marshal about when you say Los Yisidei Shammayim was only Los Yisidei Shammayim and not Tfisa. Which means it says the Nesiva is like this. In the Gemara Bar Mitzia, where the guy is going to get Malkus, so the Marshal is right. When you get Malkus, there's no Los Yisidei Shammayim. But there still is Tfisa. And that needs Hezbollah. That needs Hezbollah. According to the Nesivus, it comes out that you have no chiyuv los yisidei shemayim because you got the stronger punishment. You don't owe this guy anything in shemayim, and yet he can still be tayfizit.
Yeah, because you have the kapara, so you're good in shemayim.
Right.
But mamonos is between bein adam la'adam.
But shouldn't all that be neveya from? Shouldn't it all come out of that?
Why? One is b'shemayim, and you have your kapara for everything because you had.
But the chiyuv los yisidei shemayim is a reflection of what's going on in this world. No.
No. Why? There's metzias in the world. There's mamonos between people. Why should somebody be out because you've got a kapara b'shamayim for your?
I wouldn't say you got a lots of b'shamayim. It means that Hashem is going to demand of you to clear up this mamonos.
But you won't because now the misa makes a kapara for everything.
What's there to clean up in this world?
Everything.
What?
You
I'm not sure how you. How you
so you're not. So you're no longer. You're not chayiv on your avera of mamonos. But the mamonos between people. Somebody's out money. Why should he be out?
So the same reason why Hashem didn't make me pay when I get the shamayim. Meaning, if there's no loss in Shemayim, the receiver says, according to the Mashal, that there is no loss in Shemayim. So why does Tfisa work? You know, you're like a stranger here. You have no rights to the money. Bishlam. Now, the truth is, I'm not 100% right, because we mentioned that Rashi is Tupshat, which means they're not necessarily Talos Ebezeh. But just in the Lumbus, it needs a little bit of an explanation. How can it be that as far as Hashem is concerned, I'm scot-free, but yet I can still grab the money in this world?
That's how the Mashal was able to learn.
That's right.
The second Rashi. How'd that second Rashi go again? What did he say?
Which
there?
Second Rashi?
I'm saying this Rashi, the way we were quoting from number 6, where the Mashal was saying, I feel a little
right, this Rashi. The way the Nesivus learns the Mashal, he's going to have, well, first of all, he's going to run into the problem of the Itavus Lemafkinimine. Because again, what was the Mashal's answer? What was the Nesivus' answer according to the Mashal? Even when you taki get the stronger punishment, then there's no loss of Sdei Shemayim, but there still is Tvisa. Now, that's against our Rashi, right? Our Rashi says that over here, you're getting the stronger punishment, and you still have both. But my question is just in Lumdis. How do you explain a scenario where you have no Chiyuv loss of Sdei Shemayim? You come up, Achamei Resim, and Hashem says, I got no beef with you. I'm okay with what happened. But yet, on this world, if I were to go grab the money, I'd get to keep it. So you want to suggest there might be another slim cutting of the pie one more time. There's your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch and your relationship with his money in this world. Maybe. Maybe that's what the Mashal is going to have to answer. But to me, it comes up a big chiddush. The Ktzoi gets out of this problem differently. The Ktzoi says the Kashan never gets off the ground.
Why don't you just say that both of them exist, but being that HaKadosh Baruch is Mevater on his... We're still ben adam lachaver. We're not mavater on that, and therefore, if you're tayfasid, you can take it.
Yeah, but my problem with that is that if Akash Baruch Hu it says no chiv los yishman, that should mean the case is closed. There's nothing here left.
I'm confused. Didn't you do two things wrong? At the end of the day, the top one we can't punish you because Akash Baruch Hu says, you know what? No problem. But the bottom one still exists.
Why? But Hashem says you don't have to deal with the bottom thing. That's what it means. There's no chiv los yishman. The Mashal says that when you actually get the death penalty or the malchus, Hashem says, I'm done. I'm done with you. You're clear.
Right, but now that you're not getting it.
No, you are. We're talking about the case the deceivers learns the Gemara Pshuta, and the guy's actually going to get the Malkus. The Ktzois learns that the Gemara is talking about Shoigig. That's how the Ktzois learns this Gemara. That when it says, the Gemara says that a guy who takes an animal muzzles the Ischayiv Malkus and Mamus.
Right.
So we had a Kasha from the Marshal. The Marshal said that when a person gets the punishment of either Malkus or Misa, he doesn't have to, he does not, the there's no loss of Shoigig. The problem is, Rashi says in our Gemara, there is Los Yisidei Shammayim.
Has he learned Loka?
Ah, so that's the machlokes ksaisa nesivus. Ksaisa learns loike means loike b'shaygig, which means you did it b'shaygig, and loike means it's malchus b'shaygig, which is not practical. There's no such thing called loike b'shaygig.
I mean, he's just quoting the halacha. Not
that's right. That's right. Right. He means you did a ma'isa that if you would have done b'meiz, you would have got malchus. Kvetch in the gemara. That's how the ksaisa learns the gemara. The nesivus learns the gemara differently. Avad, the guy's going to get malchus. And even according to Mashal, the guy's going to get Malkus, and still you would not be allowed to be. You'd still be allowed to be Typhus, but no Lotzei Shemai.
Shogeg is still chayv in the money, though. Still
chayv. Shogeg
chayv in the money.
No. Now, if you hold this kimle b'shogeg,
oh.
Right. If you hold this kimle b'shogeg, so then you'd be exempt from the money, right? You'd still be exempt from the money. We'll come back to that hopefully in a little bit. But again, I don't want to get too sidetracked over it. But again, Machloket Ksais and Nesivus is how to read this Gemara. When the Gemara says that you're loikul Mishalim, does that mean you're actually getting Malkus? Or it means that no, you didn't
show
you. In theory, you get Malkus. Now, Poshab Shat, how do you understand this Mashal? Forget the Ksais and Nesivus for a second. The Mashal says that if a guy gets Misa, then there's no loss is Deshemayim. If a guy does not get Misa, then there is the loss is Deshemayim. What's the difference? What's the difference? The Marashach. How does Kim David Ramani work? So Rabbi Chonin in number 9 explains it very, very gishmak. Says Rabbi Chonin, "Biktzoyis achoyish in simin chavches hevi marshal dohod chayv los deshemayim who raki lo yavdinu nachum." When is there a chiv los deshemayim? That's only if you did not actually get the chomer. You didn't actually get the misi. You didn't actually get the malchus. B'tam chiluk zanir. Says Rabbi Chonin, what's pshat in the marshal? Why does it matter? If there's a din called Kim Leibid Rabbimine, that's it. There's Kim Leibid Rabbimine. Who cares if he actually gets the Misa? Who cares if he doesn't get the Misa? So Bechon explains. After mixing, okay, this is not so renegade to us. Let's start from where he says two lines in. He says, "Hainu the Yesh Bechal Masayim Moneh, the Havik Ilu Nenish Gamba Oynish Hakal." There's Rishonim who talk about that Kim Leibid Rabbimine means that when a person's Chayiv Misa and Mominus, and he gets the Misa, somehow, some way, it's Ki'ilu, he paid the money up also with the Misa. Now, it's very hard to understand that, because my wallet is still not getting the money, but this is the Nusach that the Rishonim uses, which Rabbi Chanan uses, that Kim Leib Dramani means that through the Misa, you made that payment. You made the payment with your life. Now, so says Rabbi Chanan, that's all fine and dandy if the guy actually gets Misa. Says Rabbi Chanan, what's the other way to understand Kim Leib Dramani? Stop Mazin Tadin. Hey, Chadav, Dinan Achumra, have Ki'ilu Shilim Gamasakal. The other way to look at it is that no, that when you give the chaymer, it's as if you paid the lesser one. Now, imkain, what comes out? What happens if the guy never gets the misa? So if the pshat and kim levi d'ram mineh would be a p'tur, can't have two punishments, right? But if the pshat is that kim levi d'ram mineh means that in the misa, it's kilo, I'm making the payment, but there was no misa over here. So mele zok to Rabbi Chonah, then you have rights to get the money. So the mashal is very gishmak. When the guy actually gets the misa, so then somehow, some way, magically, in the misa, we'll look at it as if he made the payment. So then you have no rights to the money. You have no tfisa, you have no law station, you got nothing. But says Rabbi Chonah, but when you didn't actually get the money, you didn't actually get the misa, so then it's just a p'tur. It's a bezdin can't do it. So a bezdin can't do it. So then if you do it, you can circumvent bezdin, then tfisa will work.
Is there a law station there, though, if he doesn't get the misa?
That, according to the mashal, yes.
So
yes,
both.
Well, you're putting aside the Nesivus.
How do we split?
That's only the Nesivus splits it. Okay. If you look at Rabbi Chonin, he rather keeps on focusing on the Los Sisi De Shemayim part. Okay.
In the case of Rabbi Chonin, how are we going to know if he gets the Kuris or not?
I guess
this is only Mrs. Bezdin.
Well, what if he...
This happens to be Mrs. Bezdin, right? This is grabbed by Mrs. Bezdin, but yeah, and Kuris.
We're trying to plug this into...
We're trying to apply this all to Kuris, right.
So how are you going to know if he gets Kuris? No,
so I would assume Bezdin makes...
What if he does Tshuva? Then what? Then he does Tshuva, then he has to pay?
Was it a mice or curse, no matter what? Ultimately.
Oh, good. So we're going to talk about that in a second. We're going to talk about what happens to curse b'shogeg. What happens then? Okay, so this was all a hakdama. Yeah.
Going back to something that Zev mentioned earlier about Kim Lemmy to Rabbi Mine, which I don't understand. Obviously, you know, at the end of the day, this guy's still out.
Yeah, 100%.
So
I'm with you.
How does that work?
I don't know. Somehow, the way the mumminus works is that through the Misa, it's Ki'ilu Yipa. I don't know. I don't have a better explanation than you.
No, good, this guy stole from me. He's dead. That's great. But I'm out to 500
bucks. Somehow, that Chiyuv gets swallowed up. And somehow, gets swallowed up. I don't know.
This is Torah Hashem versus Torah. So.
Yeah. This wouldn't work.
This is one of those
things wouldn't work.
You're not going to get but, your armor out of it.
Right. We have to break down even more than that. Because what do you do in a case where the guy doesn't even get the Misa? That's a case of Shoigiyim. He still says Kim Lid Ramine. That's really... hard to understand.
Yeah, he gets nothing. He goes away
scot-free. Right. So then we really have to scratch our heads. So no. There's no chiv. So this was all a hakdama to come back to the Chassam Sofer's kasha. On the next side, let's get back to the Chassam Sofer. So frek the Chassam Sofer back to our Tosfos and Ksubas. Oh, what was this whole hakdama? Tosfos and Ksubas told us what? That if you hold of Kimnei B'Diramenei like B'Chunni B'Nakana, then you would not need Exeris HaKasav to exclude Chayv Krisos from Knas. Frek the Chassam Sofer, not so fast. There's a very big nafkamina between Chayv Krisos being exempt from Kimnei B'Diramenei and Chayv Krisos being exempt because of Exeris HaKasav. What's the nafkamina? If you're exempt because of Kimnei B'Diramenei, then according to Rashi and Bamitzia, you still should have Losei Sedation Mayim and Tfisa. If you're exempt from a pasuk of Eloi Seliyisha, then you're exempt. You have nothing. So how can Tosis prove to us that those Amoroyim that held that there's no chiyuv knas by a karis because of a pasuk? Why did they need a pasuk? They should have learned that from Kimlei B'Diramenei. Says Chassam Sofer, what are you talking about? There's a fundamental difference. If you learn that from Kimlei B'Diramenei, the chiyuv mamonis is still lingering. But if you learn that from the pasuk of Eloi Seliyisha, then you're finished. Then you're done. There's nothing left. Let's just read the end of the Chassam Sofer number 10. Now, obviously, the Chassam Sofer's kasha is only if you hold like Rashi. If you hold like the other Rishayim we mentioned last week, that there's no such sugya of Tfisa and Lossi Zishmaim Akim the Dramine, never gets off the ground. But the Chassam Sofer addresses that as well. The Chassam Sofer writes, we'll start like in the middle of the paragraph. He writes, he says, There's a practical difference. So Chaim Yisrael last week wanted to tie in, maybe not. Maybe even if you hold v'loy si'ilish, it's only a p'tur, but you still have a chi of mamanis. Chassam Sofer assumes not like that. Chassam Sofer assumes that if it's a p'tur v'loy si'ilish, it means that these women have no shaychis to knas. They're completely removed from the parasha of knas. So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, I have a very big nafkamina. If you're learning it from v'loy si'ilisha, so then the girl has no rights, no claims, nothing on the money. But if it's because of Kim Leib D'Rabbimini, she does have a right. She can maybe grab the money, and this man will have a chiv lot say shemai. So if Zok Tech Sam Sofer, Tibba Mitzir Shom, Elodis, he says, the doichik loima da toises de makshi hochi apirjashi le svi leik a toises de Mitzir Shom, el svi le afil lot say shemai in potter. He says, maybe this toises in Ksubis argues on that rashi in Bam Mitzir. Now we did mention there are other Rishayim, we're going to think more differently. But the Chassam Sofer says that's a doichik. Not sure why such a deichik. There were quite a few Rishayim, but another way to learn the Gemara. Now, we also talked about last week that maybe those Rishayim don't necessarily disagree with Rashi's premise, but the Chassam Sofer thinks it's a deichik. He thinks everyone agrees to this premise, that when there's Kimlei B'Diramenei, there's still lots of Shemayim and there's still Tfisa. So, frek the Chassam Sofer, that should be the biggest nafkamina between V'loi Si'ilisha versus Kimlei B'Diramenei. What's his answer? Says the Chassam Sofer, you're right, but we're talking about knas over here. You want to compare a case where there's a chi of mominus and a chi of misa to a case where there's a chi of knas and a chi of misa. Says the Chassam Sofer, nope, not the same. The beknas the lehipsa the chaver midi potter afil alotz is deshemayi. The rachmonu hu dechay beknas viiu potter aide chi of misa. Says the Chassam Sofer, not so fast. You're comparing apples and oranges. When it comes to mominus and misa, then we say that even after the misa, there's still something lingering. But this whole thing is knas. You're not owed a dime. You have no rights to anything. So if the Torah says that in such a scenario, you have no rights to the money, you get nothing. The whole concept of tvisa and loss of shemayim is only when you actually have real rights. Your rights are as much as the Torah is willing to give you. And the Torah didn't give you any rights, but kim levi d'ram
v'nei. That's a good question. I understand knas, right? It goes back to that to some degree.
Okay, but at the end of the day, the truth is, as I tell you later on, the knas never gets off the ground unless Bezin, like you guys come saying, unless Bezin actually paskins the knas. Here, Bezin never paskins the knas.
Because there's no loss. Mamonos is a loss.
Right.
Knas is coming out of nowhere.
Right. Knas is made up by Bezin. Right. Here, Bezin never makes it up.
And it's creating new value.
Right. But
so who says you get that? Right.
Right. The whole Mekor
of it. The Kapara issue, which you already get
up. By Knas? But again, but the Knas only starts when the Chazal Institute, or the Torah instituted it. But because it's Kimli, the Torah never instituted it.
That's exactly something.
That would be something different. That would be Shaykh Kimli, right? That's later on in the right, paragraph. We'll get to that.
Because there's real losses.
That's real moments,
losses.
Right?
There's real losses.
100%.
The losses are just made up. They're correct. From nowhere.
So this is one teretz from the Chassam Sofer. But comes along the Tzlach with even a more whopper of a Chiddush. And this I think everyone's going to like. Comes along the Tzlach. This is a Tzlach in Psachim. Comes along the Tzlach and he said, I got a better teretz to this Kasha. Okay, and what's that Kasha? if there's kimle v'diravine and there is such a thing called lotzis deshamayim, that should be very different versus having a p'tur from v'loy silish. Says that slach v'nir is daiti d'choz el rabbonim. Avol Reb Nechunya ben Akona afilu l'shamayim leka misa v'tashlumin. Says the Nadiv Yehuda that this whole concept of tfisa and lotzis deshamayim, that's all true when you're talking about misa and bezdin and mamon. But in Reb Nechunya ben Akona's world, it's kares. Kares no chiv lotzis deshamayim. What's the difference? So he explains Geshmak. He says the Be'em is Hodechai B'din Yishmaim after Kimle Ramli. Why is there such a thing called Lost Yishmaim? Lamadu di Tam Adov Midirik Rashi Shom Misachas Bam Metzir. It's based on Rashi. Dichtei Rishos Di Afini Minei Mishom Rishachas Az Mechayev Oy. Because again, there's a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says you can only be Mechayev. Bezdin can only be Mechayev you one thing and not two things. Says the Nesiva. Says the Noidib Yehuda. The Tzlach LeBeidina Kamer Rachmana. Shabezdin Eni Yecholus Biyadam Mechayev Yishtei Rishus. That's limiting Bezdin. The kibun shemechayv in oisim misa ainim mechayim lechayv in moment. Aval hu mitzar atzmei romu tashlum and olav lechayv l'shan. Says the Noidib Yehuda beautifully. You know why by misa and momentist there's a concept called chayiv lotz yishmaim? Because on the book you owe the money, but Bezin's hands are tied. Bezin doesn't have the authoritative power to make you get both. So then you have such a thing called tfisa and you have lotz yishmaim because you owe the money. No one's denying you owe the money. Just that Bezin says I'm sorry. Hashem limited my power in a Bezin. However, he writes. Okay, he says. Aval Reb Nechunya ben Akona the Omer Shekaris Potim Etashlumin V'Otu Karis Beidina Mechayvele. Hare Ein Oin Shei Mosel LeBezdin Klal. However, says the Noidib Yehuda, but Karis was not an issue of Bezdin's power. Bezdin doesn't give the Karis. So therefore, when there's such a thing called Kimnei Dramini by Karis, you know what that is? That's Exeris Hakosef. That's just the Torah's way of saying I exempt you. V'im Kain. Unbelievable chilik from the Neid Yehuda. It's a different lamdas. There's a lamdas of Malkus and Nisa and Mammon. That's the pshat that the Torah says, listen, we all know you owe the money. But we can't. We can't. We, for whatever reason, Hashem decided, Bezdin does not have the authoritative power to give two punishments. So then says the Neid Yehuda, we all know you owe the money. You have a chiva hovering overhead. So then when you get the Shemaim, Hashem's going to make you pay for the mammas. But when it comes to Karis, what's the pshat by Karis? Pshat by Karis is because Bezdin can't give two punishments. Bezdin's not giving two punishments. Karis comes from Hashem. So then the Kimle works with a totally different lamdas. There the Kimle is an exemption. If you're exempt, you can't do tefisa.
It's not a different lamdas, it's a different pasuk.
It's a different pasuk, and therefore a different lamdas. Exactly. Because it's learned from a different place, that's goofy why it works differently. Therefore, says the Neid Yehuda, if it works differently, there is no option for Lot Zeh by Karis. So the Chassam Soiv's answer was difference between Knas and Mamonis. The Noidib Yehuda's there it is the difference between Knas and Mises Bezdin. Now this is a very Geshmaka Teretz. What's wrong with this Teretz?
Well, it's against Tosfos is learning the fact that you have the Pesukim, the Pasuk, with the two Shimons. That's how they can completely exempt you.
That's by Mises Bezdin.
And here is showing how he can do it with a Kares.
Now Kares is a different Pasuk.
Karis is, you can exempt it with Karis for this in the logic of what he's saying here with Karis, yeah. You can exempt now completely.
Correct.
Right. Just the way the Pesukim.
That's right.
So there, now you could there. That was Tosfos was saying.
That's
why
right.
One
that's right.
Better than the
this
other,
would answer up Tosfos' kasha. Right. This answers up Tosfos' kasha. But what's the problem with the Tzlach's pshat? And he asks it on himself. In fact, the Tzlach, according to my lumdus, its pshat is the availability and the ability of Bezdin to give or not to give. When Bezdin gives two punishments, the Torah says, I'm sorry, Bezdin, you can't give two punishments. But what do you do with Shoigigim? In fact, it's Lach, according to Mashtikal Torah, it should come out where you have a case of Shoigig Mises Bezdin. Let's say a person kills someone, B'Shoigig. So we paskin at least one sheet of holes, there's still Kim Nidram B'nei. This guy's not getting killed. No one is killing him. According to the Tzlach, you told me what? That the only time there's no Tfisa is when? Bezdin's hands are tied. Bezdin's hands aren't tied. Bezdin is not giving the first punishment. So it should come out according to the Tzlach, when you have a chayvi misas shaygigin, they should be able to have, you shouldn't have the same rules as a regular misas bezdin. Again, according to the Neid Yehuda, what's the difference between kares and misas bezdin? Misas bezdin is bezdin's being limited. And when bezdin's being limited, there's tfisa. But by shaygi, bezdin's not being limited.
Yeah, they're being limited by the lack of edim. They're being limited by the fact that he didn't do permazin.
So there it's not the pshat that Bezdin can't give two punishments. There's not two punishments to give. If according to Noach Behuda, the point is Bezdin can't give two punishments versus Hashem giving the punishments. Bezdin is not giving two punishments by the case of Shoigig.
No, but if he would have done it by Mezid, then it would have been. It's in that category.
Zok Tetzlach, number 12. The Av Shigam Chayvi Misa Shoigig and Pturin. Even by Shoigig Misa, you're still Potter. Visham Loi Shaykh Dilabay Dina Kamam Shemishachas. And then you can't tell me it's because Bezdin can't give two, because Bezdin is not giving two. Says the Tzlach, Hainu Misham, no. Because of this exact same act. If it would have been done on purpose, Bezdin would have been able to give you both. So what's the Nadim's answer? What Chaim was getting at is that there's a difference between Shoigig and Karis. Shoigig, you're at least in the right ballpark. You're in the arena that if you would have done this act, again, we need to be mad with this better next week, but let's say the words of Nei Yehuda. The words of Nei Yehuda are, when you do an act b'shoigig, Lo Yitzur would have had other details involved in the act, then Bezdin's hands would be tied.
Yeah, how does that fit in Kedei
Rishasa? Okay, good.
As if it were,
yeah. So again, his question is that at the end of the day, it's not Kedei Rishasa. It says in the Torah, Kedei Rishasa, Bezdin can only give one. Bezdin is only giving one when it comes to shoigig. Bezdin's not giving the death penalty. So the Nei Yehuda says, though, it doesn't matter. If this exact act, if it would have been done with this detail and that detail, then Bezdin's hands would have been tied. But by Karis, Bezdin never gets involved by Karis. So what's the follow-up question? Who cares? Who cares if, what, when? At the end of the day, in the case of Shoigig, Bezdin is not giving two punishments. And if the whole reason why there's no tfisa is based on this idea, then it should come out, according to Nadi Behuda, that when a person gets Misa and Mominis, so in such a case, according to Nadi Behuda, there's tfisa, there's Los Ishmael. What happens in the case of Shoigig? It should come out. You shouldn't have that by Shoigig. Because by Shoigig has to be just a Ptor, like Karis. As I named the Noid Behuda, but then at the next week we'll try to be Mazbe Noid Behuda a little better, and we'll try to finish up the Sugya of Tfisa.